This show furnished by Stan Katzer Productions.
It's time for So What's Your Problem? With life coach and self-proclaimed know-it-all, Stan Katzer. Taking your calls on everything and anything problematic in your life and relationships. Stan may tell you, don't worry, be happy, but we know it's not that easy. So that's where our experts step in to give you tools to navigate through difficult waters. Sit back, relax, let's get some perspective and learn how to have a better life. Now, here's your host, Stan the Man Katzer.
Sounds like Wilson Pickett. Is that Wilson Pickett? I think so. He's waiting for the midnight hour. But guess what? It's here. This is the midnight hour. And this is the weekly radio program that we call So What's Your Problem? And that's right. We are here to solve and resolve and help you gain insight into your problems. And tonight, we have an amazing team of experts. They're bright and lit up. Not in that way. And we're going to have a great time. So let me begin by turning to my right, as I usually do, and turn to our fitness, exercise, and all nutritional things.
Nutritional things.
Known to mankind. And she's also made a discovery we're going to talk about in a minute.
I did a big one.
Everybody lose a lot of weight. Shiny, and their hair is going to be good, and all that stuff. And she is also a model, a spokesperson, an actress, and a celebrity interviewer, and even a reporter. And if that's not enough, on weekends, she, believe it or not, is a freestyle ski champion. And she couldn't make it to the Olympics this year because she didn't want to miss doing our show.
I decided I didn't want to be cold this year.
She doesn't like the cold. So our fabulous, wonderful Kristen Harold.
Hello. Yay. Hey, Stan, I know that we're resolving problems. Do you think we ever cause any problems? We cause any problems?
You cause problems.
I cause problems.
That's a good one, though. What problems have you caused?
What problems have you caused?
You see, you want to lay it on me.
That's what I do. I turn it back around on you. I don't take any blame for anything.
I've caused some problems. Like, okay, I have a wonderful girlfriend, and we're complete opposites in that I'm in a restaurant, and I like soup. Yeah, I'm kind of a big soup eater. The soup has to be hot. You know, if the soup's not hot, I'm sending it back. She hates to send anything back. You know, he goes, don't send it back. It's fine. I go, what are you talking about? You know, your dish is cold. Your soup is cold. So, I don't know. If that's causing a problem, that'd probably cause some problems. So what's going on with you? Anything to report? Do you want to tell us a little bit about your new product? Well, hold on. Because why don't we talk to and meet our guest.
Yes, let's do that first.
Expert.
She's more important.
The renown. Known throughout the country. The amazing, lovely, charming, brilliant.
That's right.
Betty Cy Bergman. Yay.
Hello, Betty. Everyone.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
Just fine. Glad to be here.
It's great to have you on this show. Yeah. You're looking very smiley and chipper. and you know, it's amazing at midnight for all of us to be so wide awake. We're happy. To have you listening and for you.
There's some uppers involved. Yes. For me anyway.
Yes, I never sleep. So it doesn't matter.
Are you a bad sleeper?
I never sleep.
I am
yeah,
a bad
horrible
sleeper.
Yeah, I
but
just
then
never
what's
sleep.
The problem with the bad sleeping is one thing. Mm-hmm. But then when you have to get up early in the morning, yeah. It's torture.
No, I know. It's horrible.
And, you know, I was thinking about what some of the things that I like to do in life. Says, I had a birthday recently. And I like to stay up late and read. But it kills you in the morning when you have to get up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those quiet moments that I like. Anyway, Betty Bergman, she is a probate attorney who also handles litigation, trust and estate administration, estate planning, conservatorships. And I actually, Kristen is my conservator. So she takes care of me.
I'm so lucky.
She gives me
me
an allowance.
I'm so thankful.
She goes out for steak dinner. I get a hamburger. And
he should get something.
As I'm aging, we also have elder abuse issues. She told me that.
Oh, how I wish.
She told me that. She beats me up and then goes through my wallet. She's trying to get.
I did go through your wallet today.
Right, exactly. She's trying to. She's trying to get that private trust going. Where she's the recipient. But that's another story. Anyway, seriously, Betty Berman, tell us, where are you from? Tell us about your life. What do you like to do? Family, everything.
Yeah,
and eventually,
all about me.
How you got to law.
How did I get to law? Well, it's interesting because I was a math major. I have 2 degrees in applied mathematics. So I have a bachelor's and a master's in math.
Where'd you go to school?
I went to UCLA.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
And then I went to Long Beach State in between. And then I went to UC Davis for law school. But I did, when I was going into graduate school, I think at that point I had made up my mind to go to law school, but I didn't want to get out there and work that fast. So I kept going to school because I love school.
You're like, okay.
I love school.
Right.
Yeah. So. So
did you always love school?
I've always loved school.
As a little kid,
I loved like school. That.
Love school. And I always loved math, and it's just uncanny that I have a son who does not like math. And I always think, how can someone come out of me that does not like
Must
math?
Be the
I don't get it.
Side. The dad,
yeah, that's
the
right.
Dad
that's right.
Side.
Well, it's interesting because we've done these tests on our brains, whatever, and I'm very, very left brain, the analytical, logical
okay.
type of brain, and he is very right brain, creative, artist.
Oh,
type.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. 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 So we're just very different. That's probably why it works.
Yeah. So how about? I know you have 2 sons. Are they both not too good in math?
No, my older son loves math.
Okay.
Very, very
okay.
good.
Okay.
In math. My younger son actually is very good in math, but he just hates it. So it's a chore
he
for
just
him.
Just hates it.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And it, yeah. Well, also look, when you're getting close to SAT times, I think.
That's
yeah.
right. That's right.
Lights lit up.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, you know, I want to try to guide him. You know, I feel like I've gone through that process. I don't want to deal with this stuff,
yeah.
but I am a parent,
yeah.
so I do have
no,
to be
have
involved.
To.
And so so he's took the PSAT and I think we're going to go try to tour some college campuses this summer or, you know,
oh, that's
coming up.
But that's the most fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this summer means he'll be going into his junior
year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
By then.
Which is amazing.
Yeah,
I can't believe that.
Because next summer he knows where he's going. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Actually, April 1st, your senior. But the college tours are great.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
any
get him,
idea
get
where he like might like to go? Or?
No, he doesn't know. But, of course, I want him to go to some Ivy League back east.
Nice.
You know?
Nice.
that's the mom
Why
in me.
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I have some interesting stories with that.
Yeah.
Kristen, did you have tutoring, like when you were taking your SATs?
I had math tutors.
Math tutors.
There were just certain things I couldn't get in a classroom, but once it was one-on-one, it was fine.
Yeah, but most, especially on our neck of the woods, all the kids have tutors, right?
That's
crazy.
Yeah, and I it's weird because I'm not like a tiger mom. I don't sit there and say, you got to be doing your homework and get these tutors. I never did that with my kids. Yeah. I let them kind of run amok and let them be kids as much as they can. I feel my job is just to get them in college, and after that, I'm done.
Yeah.
Which seems impossible anymore. I can't even believe it's. I went to Ohio State, and literally growing up, I mean, if you had a pulse and you grew up in the state, you were getting into the state school. And now, it's
okay.
true. I mean, if you were just like,
right.
you know,
yeah.
snoring through life, you would get in. But now they're saying, I mean, I've got friends that say, you know, kids with 4.2
yeah.
can't even get into the school anymore. And it's crazy.
Yeah, that's true. Right, right. So I don't know, you know, how he's going to – he needs to distinguish himself. I think that's what all the kids have to do. It's just crazy.
I'm glad I went through school when I did because I was not a great student. I knew I was getting into college, so I didn't worry about it.
And you had a pulse.
And I had a pulse. I was breathing.
But you know what? It's cool to say I went to Ohio State.
It's great to say I went to Ohio State.
Of course, it's better to say.
And I did great once I was there
right.
because I knew I had to do well once I was there. But getting in, honestly, didn't matter.
And
what?
On that note,
yes,
I'll tell you my son went to Harvard.
Oh,
so it's
nice.
quite an insane story. Of all the things you had to pull together to make that happen, which we could get into in the next segment. But go do the college trips. It's so much fun. And you think, are you more into it? Because I was the one that did it with both my kids. My kids are older now.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter went to Northwestern, which...
Which is, yeah, that's what I was going to say. A lot of the kids that grew up out here seem to go to the Midwest, to the freezing schools. I've always wondered why.
Yeah, and by her third year, she always wanted to go to New York to be in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. She said, Dad, if I stay one more year, my face is going to freeze.
Right.
So a little bit, and I know you spent some time in Brazil.
That's right.
That Rio, Sao Paulo?
Sao Paulo. So I was actually born in Brazil, and I was there till I was about 2, and then we came here to the United States. My parents are from Taiwan. I've actually never been to Taiwan. Someday I hope to go there. For the most part, grew up in the U.S.
Okay.
I've been to Asia.
And law school at Davis.
So
let's back up a minute. UCLA, you got the math degree?
Yeah.
And then the other degree?
Was also a master's in math.
What were you going to do with math? Did you know?
I just loved it. Okay. I just loved it, yeah.
You think you would have been happy as a professor?
Stan, ask her the question you asked me. We had this conversation. He said today, are you good at math? And he asked me a question.
She's about to take the real estate exam.
Oh, really? I have my broker's license. I've got it all.
I'm about to have it all, too.
I told her a study technique, which maybe you know of, really, which is the reason why I passed my real estate.
No, this wasn't what I was talking about.
I know. Okay, so here's what I asked. It was just
don't give me a math test, though. Don't give me a quiz.
But her eyes go like this. No, it's Johnny is traveling 35 miles west in a car. Susie is traveling at 60 miles going south in a train. When will they meet? Kristen, what is the answer?
They won't.
No. So she's thinking like, shoot, he's asking me this very difficult question.
No, it depends on the car that Johnny's driving.
See?
What model is it?
He's a mathematician. No, a buddy of mine, a college roommate, was just a math genius, and I think he went on to teaching in college.
Yeah.
But otherwise, in some of the, what professions, I mean, they need mathematicians in many professions.
Yeah, I think aside from some sort of, teaching, or if you got into, a part of an engineering type of thing.
Absolutely.
You can be what's called an actuary, which does a lot of like statistical probability analysis for insurance companies, which actually is supposed to be one of the highest career satisfaction jobs. So, sometimes when I'm sitting there practicing law, I sometimes think, why didn't I become an actuary? Why am I sitting here doing this?
It's not too late.
Well, we're up against a break, but this very stimulating conversation. We have more on the other side, and we were with the great Betty Bergman, and she spells it B-E-T-I, Bergman. And get a hold of her at peninsulalaw.org. Peninsulalaw.org, and Betty will help you with all your probate estate problems. Thank you. Come back.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. This morning at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Introducing the all-new Spa Pechanga. 25,000 square feet of luxury. Ready to unwind? Book your Spa Pechanga appointment today at Pechanga.com and find more ways to relax, escape, and win.
Why won't a plumber just tell me what it costs to unclog my drain over the phone? Is it that complicated?
No, it's not. It makes no sense at all. They obviously have a price.
Whoa, you've got a nice aroma. Who are you?
Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber.
Will you tell me how much to unstop my drain?
$99.
But you haven't seen it.
Don't need to. Doesn't matter if it's a kitchen sink or a mainline sewer stoppage. The Smell Good Plumbers at Mike Diamond will unclog almost any drain for $99.
Almost?
Yeah, there are a few exceptions, but you can read all about them on our website before you call. Just go to thesmellgoodplumber.com.
Wow, you're like up front and everything. I just called a guy named Bubba who wouldn't tell me anything.
No Bubba's here, ma'am. Just professional plumbers who show up on time, smell good. and unclog drains for $99.
Call us 1-800-446-MIKE.
Contractor license number 399170.
Is your business having tax problems? Do you owe back taxes? Or has your company been threatened by the IRS, Franchise Tax Board, or EDD? If you have any issues with your taxes, reach out to the Blue Law Group now. These powerful agencies can take your home, hard-earned money, affect your current paycheck, and seize your property. Let tax attorney Michael Blue handle your tax situation. Get your free consultation by calling 833-STOP-TAX. That's 833-STOP-TAX. Or visit them at BlueLawGroup.com. That's BlueLawGroup.com.
Where do you get the best soul food in town? I mean the best. It's Doolin's on Crenshaw. It's for all your catering needs, for all your dining needs. Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker.
I'm Dr. Nazarian, the Beverly Hills dentist. My number is 310-277-8232. Give me a call. 310-277-8232. Also at thebeverlyhillsdentist.com.
Hey, what's going on around your house? Need a little help? A second opinion? Well, I'm here to help answer any questions you have about your home. All you have to do is call. Join me, Lou Manfredini, every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on House Smarts Radio, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The My Girl by the Temptations. I don't think I've never known a woman that didn't believe this song was about her. Cloudy day. Boom. All right.
Every song's about me.
Every song is about Betty Bergen. Every love song I've ever heard.
Are any these people of this, these songs, is anybody alive anymore?
You know, they still perform, but usually with none of the originals. Well, there can be an original with five other guys.
One original, five new guys.
Yeah. And the original is 97, so they they put him on a gurney, bring him on the stage, and
exactly.
They do all that.
Yes.
All right, we're back, and it's So What's Your Problem? It's a little after midnight with the great Kristen Harold, our co-host, and our fabulous attorney that we're so proud to have on tonight, Betty T. Bergman. And she is, get this down, in the smartphone, peninsulalaw.org. Peninsulalaw.org. We're finding out a little bit more about Betty. And so, Betty, let's get up to date. How did you get, now as a specialty, as a focus for your practice, how did you pick, you know, probate, wills, estates, and all that good stuff?
Yeah.
Math to probate.
Well, you know, math actually plays in very well with probate because we have a lot of estates that we're accounting for. We're pursuing trustees who, you know, mishandled the trust funds, or we're defending clients with their trust accounting, things like that. So it actually does play into that. But how did I get into this is kind of an interesting, I don't know, sort of accidentally on purpose. So I used to be a civil litigator, business litigator, and I was there in private firms doing that. I was a city attorney for a while, and then I did that. And when I had my kids, my second son, I thought, okay, I don't think I could work, you know, go to an office every day.
Right.
Yeah, so I was considering staying home. I did that about 6 months into that. I said, okay, forget this.
I'm not a stay-at-home mom.
There was just no way. I had this entire Rolodex of things to do every day with my kids.
Right.
Like I go to Gymboree one day, go to Mommy and Me one day, go to the park, whatever I could do to get out of the house. So I just said, okay, well, I'm going to have to, you know, I just thought, well, I'll just start something on my own on the side. And I thought maybe I won't litigate anymore because that may be too much for me to do on my own. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll just do wills and trusts. You know, how hard can that be?
So
I just, you know, I started getting into the, looking into this area of law, and it turned out to be a huge universe of law that, you know, very, very complex.
Yeah.
So I threw myself into this and learned everything I could do, you know about this area of law. And just kind of hung out my shingle. And
that was it.
Yeah. And one of my first cases turned into a huge litigation. And I thought, well, I'll do it since I know how to litigate.
Yeah,
and it just rolled from there. And it just never stopped. And,
What stage did you finally get out of the house?
Like 2 months. I mean, really, it just grew really fast. So my goal, you know, when I started out, I thought I'm going to just work out of the house because I still have my kids. But, you know, I just got really busy fast. So I got a small office right away, and that grew into a bigger and bigger and bigger office. And it just never stopped.
Right. You're in Torrance, on Torrance Boulevard.
I'm on Torrance Boulevard. And, you know, I work 7 days a week. You know, my goal of just kind of working on the side just never panned out.
So now by the look on your face and your smiling and your energy, I think you don't mind it that much.
No, it's hard. I like this area of law. I really like it. I specialize in it now. This is all I do. I don't even do civil litigation really. And, so I like it, but you know, I work really hard.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have a caller? Caller, to whom am I speaking?
My name's Kaney.
Kaney. I like
Kaney
that.
Or Katie?
Kaney.
Kaney, I like that. That's pretty.
That's pretty. And Kaney, can you? How do you spell that?
Kanie.
Oh, Kanie. Very good. Mm-hmm. I like
nice
it.
Name.
And my last name is Katzer. What are you doing tonight? hey, Kaney Katzer. Anyway, Kaney, do you have a question for our lovely all things probate attorney, Betty?
Yes, I do,
Betty
but
Bergman.
First of all, I want to say that I do listen to your show, and I love Kristen's laugh.
Oh, you love Kristen's laugh.
She's amazing.
All right. Kristen has a great laugh.
She does, and it makes me feel happy whenever I hear it.
Kristen can make
you
feel happy. Unfortunately, I haven't discovered that yet. I actually, you know, with these headphones.
Because your misery makes me happy.
I prefer misery even on the radio. But anyway, Kaney, what do you think? What's your question?
Well, my question is that I am the executor to my mother's estate. She is still alive, but I'm wondering, I do have a really nasty sister.
Uh-oh.
That
everyone does.
I'm kind of worried that, and I don't want to say anything to Mom because I don't want her to get worried about anything, but I am worried that when something does happen to Mom, that I'm going to have to deal with this crazy sister. And I want to know, what are my rights as an executor to my mom?
She's the executor.
Okay.
I am the executor, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, does she have a will or a trust? Do you know?
She has both.
She has both. And you are probably named as the executor and the successor trustee, right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And does your mother have capacity now?
Excuse me, what was that?
Does she have capacity? Is she dealing with her own financial affairs right now? Or are you doing that?
Yes, she is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then you're worried about what's going to happen when she can't deal with her financial affairs and you have to step up to try to do that.
That's correct.
Okay. And you have this crazy sister out there. But like I said, you know, everybody has a crazy sibling. Honestly, I've never dealt with a family, or it's very rare when I deal with a family that does not have some crazy sibling out there.
That is so wonderful to hear.
Yeah. So if there's any consolation, that it's with every family. So what you want to do is one thing is keeping them in the loop, these other family members that could possibly be contentious, because they get suspicious when they don't know what's going on. And they think you're handling the money and you're maybe taking the money or spending the money. You know, once you step up as successor trustee, you do need to give notice to all the other heirs and beneficiaries. You have to do an annual accounting. And if you make sure that you're doing those kinds of things and keeping your sister in the loop, then that may kind of deflate her, you know, suspicions a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you can do.
Now that sounds kind of complicated. Do you recommend that I get an attorney, like someone like you, if something happens to help me?
Absolutely.
Deal with all of this?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if you don't come to me, go to someone else. Because here's the thing.
To Betty.
Yeah, come to me. But if you don't, please seek some sort of advice. Because usually, you know, when someone starts administering a trust or becoming a trustee, you do have these fiduciary obligations and things you need to do. And if you don't get advice from counsel, you're not going to know that you're supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to, you know, get your sister up in arms even more. because she's going to say, hey, you did not fulfill your duties. And, you know, she'll have some reason to come after you because you didn't do
now,
it right.
Now, I have heard from others, you know, that you actually can get paid for doing this. Is that true?
That is correct. And so you should take a look at the trust. But under the law, trustees can get compensation for what they do as trustee. So, yes, you can get paid for it.
Now, how much can you get paid? Is there
a maximum
hourly
or something?
Rate or
yeah. And the thing is, there's nothing written about exactly how much you should get paid. And it does vary. It kind of varies, from county to county, what's standard in the community and what you're doing as trustee. If there's litigation involved, there's any sort of particularly difficult task you got to deal with. But you're looking in the range of like $20 to $60 an hour, a layman trustee.
No, that's not right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, so, Kenny, you're going to be putting in a lot of hours for this, I think.
Right. Yeah, and you should always keep track of what tasks you do and how much time you spent on it. And so you have a log of what services you've provided as trustee so you can, back up and support what you're getting paid.
Wow, that's really great information. Thank you so much.
You know, and I like also what Betty said. There needs to be ways to try to soften the situation with the crazy sister. Because in the long run, it can only help and, try to make her feel comfortable that nobody's going to get ripped off, cheated, here to keep it on the up and up. Because there are some, I'm going to ask Betty some crazy stories.
I got some questions.
All right, thank you. Keep listening. Forget about me. I suck. Keep listening to Kristen Harrell.
Well, he's under conservatorship.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Yeah, right. Keep listening to Kristen Harrell's laugh.
The show's on 3 years. Thank you so much.
The show's on 3 years. We disseminate amazing information, and you listen for a laugh. Kaney. What part of L.A. where do you live in L.A.?
I live in Westchester.
Oh, Westchester.
Okay, close.
All right. You know, think about that. Kaney Katzer. It rhymes. Okay, honey. I actually have a very beautiful girlfriend. I'm not looking elsewhere, but she's listening right now. And give you a number to the engineer. Bye.
Okay. Okay, I have a question.
All right,
Kristen Harrell, did you say more? I apologize.
What? We're heartbreak.
Okay.
We're going to come right back. Can you hold that thought? All right.
Okay.
Listen,
holding.
Get this down because don't piss me off. PeninsulaLaw.org. Betty Bergman is it. She cares. PeninsulaLaw.org. Thank you. See you on the other side. Drive safely and come back for Kristen Harrell's laugh.
Well,
Talk Radio 790 KABC News. I'm James Stanley with this news update. The coroner's office has publicly identified the motorcyclist killed in a crash on the eastbound 101 freeway, 30-year-old Christopher Buñuelos. He died at the scene of the crash at about 8:40 in the morning Friday along Tahunya Avenue. The freeway lanes were blocked for a while that morning. An argument at a bar in La Mirada early this morning spilled out into the parking lot where a man was fatally shot. A Pomona Police Department's Major Crimes Task Force has arrested a couple of gang members at a park. The undercover and uniformed officers were acting on a tip from a resident concerned about gang members loitering at about 5 o'clock at Hamilton Park on Hamilton Boulevard and Monterey Avenue. 24-year-old David Bautista of Pomona was arrested on suspicion of being a felon in possession of a firearm. 35-year-old Isaac Sosa also arrested on a probation violation. 790 KABC SoCal weather. Overnight, mostly clear, low 46. Sunny, close to 70 for a high on Sunday. Right now, it's 48 in downtown Los Angeles. I'm James Stanley, 790 KABC News.
Hi, this is Lou Manfredini. This House Smarts Home Improvement Minute is brought to you by my friends at Ace Hardware. Cell phones, music players, and portable game systems can be a lot of fun and expensive. That is when it comes to keeping them charged. Get in the habit of unplugging not only the device, but the charger from the wall as well. You see, by leaving the charger plugged in, you're drawing energy that you're paying for. It's called vampire power usage. Your savings could be as much as $50 a year. More information at HouseSmartsTV.com. And now this.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Start the spring season right with big lawn and garden savings at Ace. Now through Monday only, get our coupon at acehardware.com and save 25% on a regular priced item under $50. That's 25% savings on great products from Scotts, Miracle-Gro, Roundup, Ortho, and more throughout the store. Hurry in now to get 25% savings only at your local Ace. Offer valid with coupon at participating stores through February 26th. Limit 1. Exclusions apply. See coupon.
I'm Dr. Nazarian, the Beverly Hills dentist. My number is 310-277-8232. Give me a call. 310-277-8232. Also at thebeverlyhillsdentist.com.
Neighborhoods all over the country are on high alert. The death toll is now at 96 a day. At that rate, there will be no elephants left in 10 years. And that's a crime against us all. Stop the ivory trade. Fight the crime. Go to 96elephants.org.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. This morning at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Oh, Michael Jackson.
We're going to start dancing.
What?
We're dead people.
Yes, thank you.
It's like the dead people singing show.
You are, you're so uplifting.
Hey, I didn't start it.
One of the greatest talents ever, Michael Jackson.
Yes, agree. Yeah.
It's very sad.
Okay, Betty, I have a question. I'm going to dive right in here.
All right.
I'm guessing it's more rare that you have see families getting along, that most people fight. What is the percentage of people that are fighting? And because I come from a family like that.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not going to exempt my family from that.
My brother and I do not get along. We have never gotten along. We just severed our relationship actually a couple of weeks ago. But now I am facing aging parents. So I am, what do I have to expect? Even though my parents have everything in order, but
that's great. But yeah, so back to your addressing your first question. Every family that comes across my desk, it fights with each other. I mean, every single family I have come across, there is some sort of fight going on.
Even if it's in black and white.
This is your mom's wishes. That's right. And so, in fact, you know, I'll be going to a trial in a couple of months over something that's in black and white, but the kids that aren't going to get anything are contesting it.
Sure.
Because, of course, they're not happy that they've been omitted. And it's unfortunate. And what I was saying on the break was, when I first got into this, I was so curious, like, what is going on with human nature that this happens in families?
Yeah.
And especially if there's money involved, everyone feels somehow entitled to it or suspicious of each other as far as like what's happening with the money or the things. It could be a photograph or a watch, and people are fighting over those kinds of things. And I hate seeing it. The minority for sure of cases I handle, there's a family getting along. Now, of course, there could be families out there that are getting along. They don't come to me because there's no fight going on. But, you know, I do handle uncontested matters, administration, and there's always still some people not getting along in those families as well.
What generally causes children to be omitted from?
Yeah. It's rare. It doesn't happen that much. But, you know, it could be, you know, in one case, there was a son who was a drug addict, and the father could not get him off drugs, and he was never around, and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so,
makes sense.
The father wanted to disinherit him. Sometimes things like that causes a parent to disinherit kids, or they just don't get along and they don't have a relationship with their kids. And you know, the thing is, under the law, you can disinherit your kids. You can do it. You can give your money to anybody. And, actually in some countries, this came up, I can't remember if it was France or what other country, it's illegal to disinherit kids in certain countries. But here in LA County, in California, you can disinherit your kids. But some kids out there don't think that's true.
So now you're in the middle of dividing up the property, the estate.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, let's say there's one child, in this case, you know, the kid's into drugs, whatever, who's omitted, left out.
Yeah.
and he wants to fight it. So now you do you have everything on hold? Well, that person goes through court.
Yeah.
And how do you get involved in that? Do you say we got to wait to see how this
That's
comes
right.
out?
That's right. So then when it's in litigation like that, then nobody's getting a distribution until we can figure out who we're supposed to distribute to. Right. Yeah. So when it's caught up in a litigation and going to trial, everyone's on hold. Everyone's on hold. Yeah.
All right. I think we have a caller. Caller, to whom am I speaking with? Hello?
Is it me?
Yes, you're on. You're on, caller.
My name's Roger.
Hey, Roger, how are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Roger, you don't sound like you're doing. You sound a little down in the dumps.
I'm frustrated with bureaucracy.
Oh.
Well, everyone is.
All right. Well, let's hear. What's your problem?
Well, here's it's just a little thing. My uncle died. A few years, and he put my brother-in-law as an executor of the estate, and everything's going to my sister and I.
Right.
Right. And he had a trust,
right,
but he forgot to do his bank account in the trust.
Oh. Well, interesting. Okay.
And there's only about $2,000 in there, but, you know, we'd obviously like to get it. And my brother-in-law, he's written to the bank multiple times. He's given them all the affidavits that they asked for, and they're still not relinquishing the money. And, you know, the thing is, they said, well, you can get a lawyer, but a lawyer will charge, I mean, it's only $2,000. What are we going to pay, $1,000 or whatever for a lawyer for, you know,
to give get a thousand? Right. Whatever.
It's just so ridiculous. Is there any alternative?
The bank should release those funds through what's called a 13-100 affidavit. The banks have their own forms. I don't understand why.
13-100. This is a New York bank.
Oh, well, then I can't tell you what's going on in New York.
She knows California.
I only practice law in California.
Right.
Yeah, see, my sister lives in Florida. I live in California. And my uncle lived in New York, where the money is. Now, it is a bank that has multiple offices. There is an office in Florida.
But the trust or the estate is getting administered in New York because
Florida.
That's where you're.
Yeah. Wait, well, is it Florida?
My brother-in-law lives in Florida. He's right. The executive.
Okay. And where did your uncle die?
New York.
Okay, but he's administering the trust in Florida. That's where the trustee resides. That's where it's being administered, right?
I guess.
Or no. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know.
I don't know what administered means. That's,
well, he's taking, so he's taking care of it and you know, collecting all the assets to distribute.
Florida.
Okay. Well, I can't really comment on what Florida law is or New York law, unfortunately. I could just tell you that in California, he'd be able to collect that $2,000.
Let me interject the question here. Let's say it was $100,000. Isn't there such a thing when a person dies intestate, meaning without a will, that would mean that money would go through probate? Tell me where I'm wrong.
Yes.
And eventually they would get the money.
So
something's not right here.
Yeah, here's where the cutoff is. In California, it's a $150,000 threshold. So if you've got under $150,000, you can collect it outside of a probate proceeding.
Oh, okay.
You got $150,000 or more, you've got to go through probate to collect that.
Okay, so that's, he's...
Okay. Yeah.
So this should be...
So the law may be very different.
No, but wait. Let's listen to Betty, because this should really... something's not going right, because this should not be that complicated.
Yeah. And again, you know, I don't know... I would assume other states have the same sort of process, but let's say if it were here in California, it's a simple affidavit form that you fill out through the banks to collect this $2,000. The trustee would collect it, you know, saying that it belongs into the trust and you know.
So. Roger, let me ask you a question.
13-100, is that?
Yeah, but that's a California probate code.
Well, so. At least it'll give
Roger,
some way to...
why can't your brother-in-law, maybe you should pick up the phone... Talk to that bank manager.
He's done it already. He's done it several times.
No, I don't trust him. I don't trust your brother-in-law. Hey, Roger, get on this. I don't trust your brother-in-law. It's a little bit of a schlemiel. This is $2,000. Come on.
Actually, I asked them to give me the information.
Exactly. Yeah. You know. Just say what's going on.
Get this out of the.
Yeah. Get it out of the way.
Hanging in the clouds.
Yeah, because I know. I'm sure your brother-in-law is a great guy. But he's doing something wrong, I hate to say it.
Unless he's already collected it.
And how hard would it be, you know, somebody like Betty in Florida, you just say, I just have a quick question, it's only a couple $1,000s. They're going to be nice because you may have future business, or you may refer, or maybe they're just a nice person. So call a Florida attorney that handles this stuff. He'll tell you the form, like Betty said, $3,100, and get it over with.
Maybe I should call up a New York.
Yeah, and do me a favor. Tell that Schlemiel to get out of this situation. I'm getting pissed off at this. A lousy $2,000.
I just don't like it to just laying there.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, I hope there's more than $2,000 in this estate, though, right?
Yeah.
There was like $100,000.
Right, okay. A little better.
Yeah. Okay. So, but
what else?
What else you got?
If this stays in the bank for X amount of years without anything happening, what happens to that money?
Yeah, well, once again, in California, what happens is it escheats to the state. So the state takes control of it, but then it stays there. And everybody in California can log on to the state controller's website and look up if they have any assets out there that are unclaimed. And usually executors, trustees should do this for the decedent to see if they need to claim anything from the state. I happen to have like $50 there, and I don't. It's not worth me to fill out the form to get it.
I have $40 somewhere, I didn't even bother to collect it.
Right.
So that's what happens in California. Once again, I don't know what's going on in Florida. Mm.
Okay, Roger, that's it. Anything else on
that's
your?
That's the biggest question.
What's your problem with the bureaucracy?
That's an example of it. Isn't that an example? I just run across bureaucratic nightmares almost daily.
Oh, okay. All right. So nothing specific except
this
one.
At least I'm not dealing with a bureaucracy when I call you guys.
Oh.
Yes. Thank you.
See, we're not.
And
we're
have
not
you ever heard Kristen Harold's laugh? You hear it? And Betty has a nice laugh, too. Hey, I'm sitting here with two very attractive women. You know what I mean, Roger?
Okay. Well,
they're beauties and brilliant. And when you get that $1,000, man, straight to McDonald's. All right, listen, Roger. I want to hear from you, and I want to hear that you cut off that Schlemiel from handling any business situations.
He's
married to your sister, right?
Right.
Yeah, I get the picture.
Maybe Betty's right. Maybe they got the money.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going
to play. Yeah, they got the $2,000. Yeah. They're playing dumb. Maybe he's not so stupid. All right, Roger, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And good call. Good call. All right, Betty, you've mentioned cases where families really get at it, have at it.
Oh, yeah.
And is ever a situation, which I bet there is, where you really believe where you side with one or the other? I mean, you have to be careful.
My client's always right.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
My clients do no wrong.
I get it. Hey, you should hear what the criminal defense is saying. I go, what do you mean? The bank saw the guy. He's like, no, innocent. Yeah, go ahead.
No.
So whoever you hired.
No. But I do, my philosophy, though, is that that parents should be able to give their money and their property to whomever they want.
Right.
And if it so happens that they don't want to give it to one of the kids, you know, I don't know what these kids, what happened there,
right,
but they earned it and they should be able to give it to whom they want.
Yeah.
And, what I really don't like is when kids feel like they're entitled to it. And they didn't earn it. It's a gift.
Yeah,
it's a gift.
Right.
So, that's my philosophy. But of course, I will follow the law and the trust and whoever's in front of me, whatever they need to, I'll advocate for. Generally speaking, I just think, people earn their property.
They
have a right to do what they want to do. Yeah, I agree.
And I think what it creates, though, I could see where the kid that's left out may have felt left out their whole lives, and maybe for good reason.
Maybe
we just
don't know.
Was not a great we child to have around. So
right. Well, what's funny is when you've got kids saying, even though the parents do want to give it equally to the children, one of the kids doesn't want to have their siblings get something because they say, well, they missed some Christmases or something. And and you know, there's nothing under the probate code or the trust that says you got to count up how many Christmases this child went to. If the parents want to give them an equal share, they get an equal share. That's it. Yeah.
Is there ever a situation, well, I'm going to ask this fast because we're up against the break, where, of course, one child feels they did something more than the other child did for the parent.
Probably all the time.
Maybe we're talking about a 90-year-old infirmed old lady.
Yeah.
And one of the daughter does more of the work and the shopping and all that.
Yeah.
But let's hold on to that and get back.
Okay.
On the other side of the break, and Kristen Hell, is there anything I could do to make you laugh?
Not right now. Nothing.
Okay, we got to think of some jokes.
You got to get Kristen to laugh. Although Betty has it.
I'm not going to laugh the rest of the show.
PeninsulaLaw.org. We made ourselves conscious about it. PeninsulaLaw.org. The great, beautiful, brilliant Betty Bergman.
Cars, trucks, motorcycles. If it's got a motor, we've got your man. If there was ever a time you needed an automotive expert like Leon Kaplan at your side, it's now. The Motor Man. This morning at 8 on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Is your business having tax problems? Do you owe back taxes? Or has your company been threatened by the IRS, Franchise Tax Board, or EDD? If you have any issues with your taxes, reach out to the Blue Law Group now. These powerful agencies can take your home, hard-earned money, affect your current paycheck, and seize your property. Let tax attorney Michael Blue handle your tax situation. Get your free consultation by calling 833-STOP-TAX. That's 833-STOP-TAX. Or visit them at BlueLawGroup.com. That's BlueLawGroup.com.
Why won't a plumber just tell me what it costs to unclog my drain over the phone? Is it that complicated?
No, it's not. It makes no sense at all. They obviously have a price.
Whoa, you've got a nice aroma. Who are you?
Mike Diamond, the Smell Good Plumber.
Will you tell me how much to unstop my drain?
$99.
But you haven't seen it.
Don't need to. Doesn't matter if it's a kitchen sink or a mainline sewer stoppage. The Smell Good Plumbers at Mike Diamond will unclog almost any drain for $99.
Almost?
Yeah, there are a few exceptions, but you can read all about them on our website before you call. Just go to thesmellgoodplumber.com.
Wow, you're like up front and everything. I just called a guy named Bubba who wouldn't tell me anything.
No Bubba's here, ma'am. Just professional plumbers who show up on time, smell good, and unclog drains for $99.
Call us. 1-800-446-MIKE. Contractor license number 399170.
Introducing the all-new Spa Pechanga. 25,000 square feet of luxury. Ready to unwind? Book your Spa Pechanga appointment today at Pechanga.com and find more ways to relax, escape, and win.
Where do you get the best soul food in town? I mean the best. If it's Doolin's on Crenshaw, it's for all your catering needs, for all your dining needs. Doolin's on Crenshaw, just south of Stocker.
Hey, what's going on around your house? Need a little help? A second opinion? Well, I'm here to help answer any questions you have about your home. All you have to do is call. Join me, Lou Manfredini, every Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on House Smarts Radio, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Is there superstition?
Oh, finally. Somebody's alive still.
I just saw him the other day.
Jose, from now on, we can only play music where people are alive.
Yes.
That's
well,
why
don't we play artists that are not with us anymore?
We did that the whole hour before.
Oh, thank you. Sorry, I forgot. Yeah. All right, so we're back. The name of the show is So What's Your Problem? We're here really with the wonderful, talented attorney Betty Bergman, and she's from PeninsulaLaw.org. And Betty is all things probate, trusts, estate planning, litigation, elder abuse, conservatorship. And I think our dear Kristen Herold, co-host, has a question for Betty Bergman.
Betty,
okay.
For you know, there's a lot of single people nowadays staying single longer.
Yep.
What is the easiest and most cost-efficient way for people such as myself to put a will in place? I mean, is it just easier to go on LegalZoom? I met with an attorney once. I was still with my ex at the time. It was like,
$1,500 for him to draw up papers. Yeah. And I'm not willing to pay that at this point. I don't have that much. Or do I just put on a piece of paper, here, Mom and Dad, if anything happens to me, here's all the jewelry that you ever gave me back.
Sign it.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
that's a good question.
Yeah, and it'd be more if he came to me.
Yeah, because $1,500 is not that much.
Right. Yeah. And but I do comprehensive plans. Like I put, you know, powers of attorney and all that.
No, but
together.
I mean, I don't have that much.
Right,
so
right,
what is somebody like me supposed to do?
It's hard for me to kind of promote LegalZoom. I don't know, you know, I've seen their instruments come across my desk sometimes, you know, and I don't want to say anything bad about them. So it's hard for me to, you know, say if that's what you should do. There is, you can put together a holographic will, which means you just write out all your wishes. That will, of course, goes through probate. So you're looking at, you know.
So it still goes through probate.
Yeah. So a big misconception out there is that if you have a will, it's not going to go through probate. This is untrue. So it will go through probate. But you'll have your wishes, put in place for free.
How long does probate take generally?
An average probate is about 18 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
because. Oh, I mean, and that's good to know because I wouldn't want to put my parents through that either. So.
Yeah. So you would think about your beneficiaries doing this, you know, whoever you name as executor to manage all this after you die, and they would have to, you know, file for probate and go through the probate process. I mean, it's not that difficult, but it is a court process. There are fees involved, to go through probate. So that's what you're looking at if you put a will, together. A living trust is the only thing that avoids a probate.
Okay.
You know, the thing with the jewelry, God forbid if something happens to you, you just set it aside and you let Mom know, here's where it is. Is your brother going to fight over it or something? Is that what you're afraid of?
No, I'm just saying, it's just if anything were to happen to me, you know, obviously I don't know if I'm going to, I didn't want to curse myself here right now, but I'm just saying, if anything happens, you know, my most valuable things are my jewels and my possessions.
Well, for me now.
That all came from my parents anyway.
Here's something easy that I learned years ago. Let's say bank accounts. I just put my kid's name on the bank accounts. You know, I trust them. And that's it. Something happens to me, it's boom. You own property, put the name on the property. Boom. You know, there's ways to simplify these things too. But most of the time with a living trust, like you say, you don't have that much, so there's probably other ways to do it. But Betty is right. You know, with a living trust, it's all protected. There's no probate and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I don't have a family, I don't have a husband, I've got nothing.
Well, let me ask you a question.
You got us today.
Here's my problem.
No, I'm just saying.
And she's so ugly.
There must be a simpler way for people to handle things than going to spend thousands of dollars with an attorney. No offense, Betty.
I got to make a living.
Listen, Kristen, how much are we talking about, you know? Maybe we should talk. Anyway, okay, question, because we're really running short on time. Betty's been amazing and very charming, having her here, may I say.
Some lawyers can be charming.
So now, how often is there a situation where I said there's an infirm mother and all that, but she has her faculties, she doesn't have, you know, maybe beginning of dementia, and one child feels that, you know, getting the short end of the stick and wants to contest their capacity.
Okay, so that happens
all the time.
So there's an infirm parent, and you know, there's a couple of kind of fights that come up. I mean, yeah, sometimes there's someone that takes her to an attorney to change the estate plan, to change it to naming that particular child. You know, then there's something called undue influence. You know, that's how the other beneficiaries would challenge this, that they took Mom when she didn't have the proper capacity to execute this. But, you know, capacity is a tricky thing under the law. So you can have diminished capacity, but if you're lucid at the moment that you are executing this instrument, it could be upheld.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
A quick question, and this is a situation I'm familiar with. Brother and sister, mother's ill, and the sister, the daughter, was doing a lot of caregiver work for the parent. And she's also the executor. Looks like we're going to have to wrap up. But anyway, okay. just quickly, that happens.
That happens. And that's allowed. That's okay.
And she's allowed to take some money out for her caregiving duties?
Yeah.
As long as the mother agreed?
Or, yeah, if the mother, you know, if that's, that happens all the time. The like they, could, they could live there for free rent because you're caregiving and things like that. Yeah. That does happen. And that's okay.
All right, we're up against it. What an amazing hour flew by. The great Betty Bergman.
I didn't get to fire you this
week. She's peninsulalaw.org, peninsulalaw.org. Kristen Harreld didn't fire me this week, so it's a good week.
I guess we'll see each other next week again.
I guess I pay for lunch. All right, well, I don't know about anybody else, but me, Kristen, and Betty, it's 1 in the morning. We're going out on the town.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Take care and have a great week and come
back
next Saturday night.
Stay safe out there.
Kristen Harreld, Betty Bergman.
This show furnished by Stan Katzer Productions.